Well, a very good morning to all of you. And for those who are visiting, a very, very warm welcome to you as well. Let us turn to our text for this morning, Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, we're looking primarily at verse 16. We are read from verse 16 to verse 19. And our topic for this morning is, as what we see in verse 16, the phrase, ask for the old paths. Ask for the old paths. You see, in our world today, the world delights in things that are new. New is good. New is exciting. New shows progress. New shows advancements. Old? These are things that are looked upon with disdain, scoffed at. That is last season's clothing, designs. That is the previous generation of whatever technology it is, whether it's your phones, your televisions. Those are old stuff. Let's just sell it. Let's just get rid of it. Let's just throw it out. Why? Because it's old, it's not good anymore. We want that which is new. New is what excites us. That sort of thinking, sadly, is also found in the hearts and the thinking of Christians now with regards to churches, with regards to doctrines, with regards to our understandings of the Word of God. In some circles, new is also that which is exciting. New is progressive. New shows things that we have perhaps previously not thought of before. This must be the new truth. This must be the new revelation. These are the new ways in which we ought to do Christianity. These are the new ways in which we can now worship the Lord. And if you look at churches around us today, yes, they are very different. They are very different from how things were. It is not to say that all new is bad. It is not to say that we reject any and every change. But we ought to ask the right questions. What of the new do we receive? Or what of the new do we reject? And what of the old do we retain? And what of the old do we realize that, yes, progress is in fact sometimes a good thing? Because here in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, he puts this statement here. Right, as we see here in the Word of God in verse 16, he says, ask for the old paths. What does that mean? What is he talking about here? How is that relevant to us now in the present? What are the old paths that we ought to seek for? Yesterday, we remember the Reformation. What was Reformation? It was a time some 500 over years ago. In the early 16th century, so that would be the 1500s, where it was in a time where the world was in darkness, the gospel, the truth of God's word had been hidden. Even in the church, it was not known or not clearly understood. And it was a time where men and women also stood up and asked for the old paths. But what are these old paths? How is that related to what Jeremiah said in his time? You see, when we talk about the old paths here in the context of Jeremiah 6, now we are not just talking, or we are not actually talking about traditional practices of the church. We are not saying that, all right, we as a church must continue in the same way it has been for hundreds of years, or those are the old paths. Not necessarily so. We are not doing things that we do just because it has been what we have been doing for the past hundreds of years. See, the old paths, or the original paths, are really hearkening all the way back simply to the Word of God. Simply to the paths and to the ways which God has set us on through His Word and told us to remain therein. To say that this is how you must walk. This is how you must live. This is how you must order your lives. Back to the way that God has originally shown us in His Word. And when we look back at history, from the time of Jeremiah, when he called them to ask for the old paths. From the time of the Reformation, when the reformers stood and said, well, what is the truth of God's word? They returned to the old paths. And even for us today, in the 21st century, that same question must continue to be posed. Let us all continue to seek the old paths. And what do I mean by these old paths? It's simply back to the word of God. Because that was the heart of the Reformation. That continues to be the heart of what every single church ought to be doing. Sadly, which we see is not happening in many churches, in that we simply seek to ask, well, what does the word of God say? What is it that God desires for us? How does he want us to walk? How does he want us to live? How does he want us to conduct ourselves? That was the question that faithful believers have been asking all throughout the ages, and it is the same question that we must also ask. Because old is not always necessarily boring or bad. New is not always necessarily good. Old, insofar as it comes back to the original teachings of what God had given his people, now that is the best. That has to be the best in our minds. So firstly, we see in chapter 6, verse 16, the command came, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. See, the first thing that we have to ask, or first thing I have to understand, you know, about seeking the old paths is we understand, firstly, the crisis that is presented before us. That is what Jeremiah called them to do. Thus saith the Lord, he says, stand ye in the ways and see. The ways that were before them. The various options. The various choices that they had. Standing in front of them. The different ways that were presented. What were these ways? You see, God called Jeremiah to preach in a time in which Judah as a nation was fast declining. His ministry began in the reign of the last good king that they had, and that was King Josiah. But shortly after that, will be a series of his sons and grandchild, all of which will be wicked. They will rule anywhere varying from 11 years to just a few months. And before long, the Babylonians will come, defeat them and destroy them completely. They will be instruments and tools of God's judgment against Judah. Why? Because of their sin. And so at that point of time in which Jeremiah was preaching, they were standing there at a crossroads. There was on one hand Josiah calling them back unto the Lord. They had rediscovered portions of scripture. Josiah called the assembly together and said, these are the words of God, we must abide by them. And he was faithful. And he called them to come and return to the Lord, to make a covenant before God and promise that we will abide by the words of God. There may have been some that listened, but by and large, while there was an outward show of repentance, it seems that the hearts of the people were not moved. And then the kings that followed after them, they were all wicked, they were all idolatrous, and God punished them. But at that juncture in which Jeremiah was preaching, and the word of God came through Jeremiah, if you just glance up the few verses before that, verse 13, he speaks of the state of their hearts at that point of time. Verse 13, he says, from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. That was the state of their hearts at that point of time. They had departed from the ways of God. They had departed from the simple and clear teachings of Scripture. It was the commandment, is it not? Thou shalt not covet. But now he says, every single one, from the least to the greatest, the old to the youngest, all of you are covetous. And then he says, from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. The ones who were supposed to be their religious leaders, the ones who were supposed to present the truth to them and teach them the word of God. Even the prophets, there were many false prophets in Jeremiah's time. And so he says, all of them, so many of them, they are bearing false witnesses Basically, they're lying. That was a commandment as well. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That was the state of their hearts at that point of time. And so the Lord called them and he says, stand there and see. Open your eyes. Understand the crisis of the time. Understand the weightiness of the people. Understand how God's judgment is hanging right over them. And yes, in just a few years, the Babylonians will come and the Babylonians destroy them. This was the judgment of God. This was a judgment that many of the faithful prophets had been warning of, and Jeremiah in his time was called to this very difficult ministry to warn them as well, that they continue on in these new ways, right? These new ways in which was the ways of sin, the ways of covetousness, the ways of falsehood. And they were assuring themselves in verse 14, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There were many false prophets that were giving that assurance to say, don't worry, all is well. Jeremiah was saying, no, the Babylonians are coming. They're going to destroy you. You must repent. And they were given that false assurance. Peace, peace. They were not ashamed, verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed an abomination, when they had sought after idols? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. God was giving them, in no uncertain terms, warnings of judgment, that you are not in peace. You are hanging there, as it were, like at the edge of the cliff. Judgment is right there before you. But they didn't do anything. They didn't care. They were not concerned. But Jeremiah's words continue to ring true till today, because they were also the same realization that the reformers had in their time, in that 16th century. And they stood in the ways and they opened their eyes and they said, no, this is not right. We cannot continue in this way. It is not in according to the word of God. That was the state of the church. At that point of time, there was only the one church, the Catholic Church, or what we today call the Roman Catholic Church. The popes, the bishops, the archbishops, the cardinals, the priests, all of them, they were corrupt, immoral, sinful. They had hidden or taken away the word of God from the people, and they had forbidden it to be translated into a language they could understand. And they say, oh, we alone have access to the truth. You must listen to us. And through the years, so many false teachings had crept into the church. At that point of time, they were teaching them all sorts of unbiblical notions, ideas about the fact that you must do so many things in order to be saved. You must come and confess your sins before a priest. And when he tells you to do certain things, that is what you must do in order for your sins to be forgiven. You must pay money to the church in order to release the souls from purgatory. You must do this, you must do that. So many superstitions had crept in. The priests, the fathers, they were the ones that were dominating the politics of the day. And through their actions, they struck fear in the hearts of the people, taking advantage of them, threatening them that if you do not comply to the will of the church, you will be excommunicated. You will be cast out of the church. And once you are out of the church, there is no salvation for you. And so in fear, the people just complied. They followed. But there was no true gospel. There was no truth to be found. And the people were in darkness. Now, in very similar way to how it was in the time of Jeremiah. Immorality, covetousness, falsehood was rampant. And even the priests themselves, they did not know the truth. They did not know the gospel. And these were what the history describes as the Dark Ages of Christianity. And so God called them to stand in the way and see and know and understand. Realize all these divergent paths have all deviated from the truth, have all deviated from the word of God. And we must understand the crisis, because it is only then that we will ask for the good way and the right way. You see, that same crisis continues on in our time. As we look at the world around us, are we concerned? As we stand in the ways and we see so much apostasy all around us, we see right before our very eyes the falling away of the church. We see the rise of the ecumenical movement, of how so many churches, for the sake of unity, have cast aside doctrines, have cast aside any semblance of allegiance to the truth. And so many false doctrines, so many false teachings have crept in. Are we concerned about the immorality and the godlessness of our times? Because the same crisis continues in our day, just as the Apostle Paul warned in his time. Right, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, "Know that in the last days perilous dangers shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, Paul warns, turn away. Because these are the many paths that we see before us, the many ways in which people today are living their lives. And we are not just talking about unbelievers here, or rather those outside the church. No, we are talking about those within the church. We are talking about so many churches around us, where men in the present also are lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. They are having a form of godliness, but no power thereof. Meaning to say that outwardly they seem to say that, well, we believe in the Bible, or they talk about Jesus. They do not understand the gospel. They do not understand the truth of God's word. There is a crisis in our day, the crisis in our times. Will we also stand up and say, ask for the old paths? Come back to the word of God and ask, well, really, what does the word of God teach us? What does the word of God say? Because that is the way which God wants us to walk. And so Jeremiah goes on and says, the word of God speaks through Jeremiah, and he says, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? So what is the old paths all about? See, when we understand the crisis of our times, and the things that we must then ask is now, what is the good way? Because that is what the old path is likened to, right? It is the good way. What is the good way? Well, of course, we understand it is not good simply in the sight of men. It is not what man says is good, basically. It is what God says is good. Because that is the only benchmark and standard of goodness and rightness, isn't it? This man today, they have all sorts of opinions. Oh, this is good. This is better. Oh, this is the best. Oh, we have discovered these new methods. Oh, we have discovered these new teachings. But if any of them and all of them are not in accordance to Scripture, then how dare we say that these are good? See, good is not something subjective. Good is something that is very clearly defined for us. And it has to be only good insofar as God says it's good. Good insofar as it is according to His word, and not the subjective opinions of men. Because there are many churches today that say so many different things. This is good today, they would say, to be inclusive. Oh, we say it's good to be very open and loving and kind to anyone and everyone that is different. Is that what the Word of God says? No. The Word of God says, no, there is one way in which we ought to live. The way of righteousness and holiness and godliness. And there are things, there are ways which God says are an abomination in His sight. And how dare then we say that these new ways are good? The world is a sinful place all around us. And people are, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, standing up and saying all sorts of different things. Just like it was in the time of the Reformation, in the time of the Reformers. They were saying all sorts of things as well, that it is good to bow down to the statues and the images of the saints and of Mary. It is good to pray to Mary, they said. Oh, it is good to pay your indulgences. It is good to do all these things. But then we have to ask, are these the old paths? Are these the right ways in which God has instructed us in His Word? That was the question that the Reformers asked as well. Where in the Scripture does it speak of all these things? Where does the Bible teach of purgatory or of prayer to the saints? Where does the Bible teach of the fact that Mary is immaculate or perfect? Where in the Bible does it say that the Pope is infallible? Nowhere. And so they ask, where is the good way? What is the right way? And that is also what we have the responsibility to do in our time, as what Jeremiah called the people in his time to do. Go back to the Word of God. Go back to the Word of God. Because Proverbs warns us, isn't it? Proverbs 14:12, he says, there is a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so, yes, some of these people may very well be sincere about what they believe in. And they think, yeah, these are right to me. These are things that I believe in and I'm convicted by. And in their own idea of morality, they think, well, this is good. This is right. But the Bible warns, you see, it's not about our subjective feelings about things. It's not about how we think. It is about what is right in the sight of God. And there is a way that seems right unto men. There are many of these ways that seem right unto men, but these are not the old paths. These are not the good ways. These are the ways that lead to death and destruction. And we must therefore go only in the way of the righteous. That's what Psalm 1, this is the psalm that we've read this morning, right? The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the ungodly way shall perish. So what are the ways? What is the path that we will want to choose? What is the path that we will want to seek after? That which is good and right according to my subjective feeling? Or that which is good and right in the sight of God? And so he says, ask for the old way. Ask for the good way, the right paths. And enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be they which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The straight and narrow way. The narrow gate, that is the way in which we ought to tread. That is the one that comes closely aligned to the Word of God. That is the way that we must seek for, the old paths. What is the way that we are seeking to tread? Are we seeking the good way? Seeking the old paths, the same questions the Reformers asked, the same questions that Jeremiah asked the people then. What will you choose? Will you go the way of the wicked kings? Will you worship Baal? Will you subject yourself to idolatry and covetousness and false witnesses and all these different things? Will you listen to the false prophets that were crying, peace, peace, when there was no peace? Or will you ask for the old paths? Because what will happen when we seek the good way? Well, the next thought that I have is that we can then enjoy the walk. Enjoy the walk, right? We look before us and there are divergent paths. It's a crisis of our day. And we understand that there is a crisis and we say, no, I ask for the old paths. I seek the good way. And what is the assurance here? Jeremiah then goes on to say, and walk therein, walk down the good way, walk along the old paths, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That is the promise, that is the assurance. We shall find rest for our souls. See, the time that Jeremiah was living in was a time of turmoil. It was a time of great conflict. Wars were raging. The might of the Babylonian Empire was coming soon down upon them. There was no peace. Peace, at least insofar as the absence of conflict. Jeremiah himself was a victim of numerous and continual conflict because he preached the old paths. He tried to lead the people to the good way. He was thrown into the pit. He was sought for, wanted. I mean, many of the kings wanted to kill him for his preaching. What sort of peace are we talking about? He witnessed in time to come as Babylonians came and destroyed them completely. He wept, he lamented. He wrote the book of Lamentations, where he speaks of the tears that flowed continually. Why? Because he saw the destruction of his own people. It was the most tragic thing he experienced. And he was left there. He had to flee. But you see, the peace he's talking about is not the earthly peace. It is not the absence of physical conflict. He speaks that if you walk in the good ways therein, you shall find rest. Where? For your souls. You shall find rest for your souls. And that is what he assured them. That yes, while the conflict and turmoil was raging all around them, if they knew that they were walking down the right and the good paths, if they were obeying God and according to his word, there can be rest. There can be peace. Same thing we see paralleled in the time of the Reformation. It was also a time of conflict. Many of these reformers were hounded continually throughout their lives. The authorities were out to kill them, to get them. Some of them were arrested. Some of them were thrown into prison. Some of them were martyred for their faith, for preaching the truth. Why? Because they had found the old ways, the good ways, the right ways. They were killed for that. They were killed for that. It was a bloody, bloody time. It was a time of great war and conflict all across Europe. It panned out differently in different countries, but generally the persecution was there. Why? Because the Roman Catholic Church was very upset, very angry with Luther and the rest of them for going against the teachings of the church. But they knew these were the old paths, the good ways that they ought to seek. As they rediscovered the doctrines of the justification by faith, that it is by grace through faith in Christ alone, based according to the word of God, for the glory of God alone, that is what we must seek after. And for teaching these things, they did not have rest. They did not have physical rest. Many of them had to constantly be on the run, moving from place to place. Many of them had to face up against numerous attacks from the authorities. But what they found in their day was what Jeremiah promised and what we can have today as well. Rest in our souls. What are we talking about? It is simply the peace that comes, the peace that passeth all understanding, because we are assured and certain that our lives are in the hands of God, that our fate is secure, that we rest secure in our providential God. This was the promise, you see, that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his disciples in his day as well. In Matthew 11, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What sort of rest? He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Same promise there. Same promise there. Because in Jesus' day, there was also a crisis of faith. There were the Pharisees and the Jews who had misunderstood the promises of the Messiah. And they were also teaching a form of salvation by works, whereby it is through your righteousness and your obedience to the law that you can be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And Jesus said, that is a too heavy burden that you have placed. Because there's no way that a man can obey not just the laws of God, but on top of that, all the additional burdens of their, extra laws that the Jews had added upon the word of God. And he says, yes, I understand. It is a wearisome thing to abide by all these rules and laws, and there is no way that a person can hope that through the keeping of the law that you will be saved. And Jesus says, no, you come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest unto your souls. Because the message of the Lord Jesus Christ is simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That is it. That by faith you look to the Lord Jesus Christ, you repent of your sins will be washed and cleansed by the blood of Christ. We don't have to work or earn our salvation. It is not because I am so good that I obey all the laws and God is so happy with me. He says, yes, yes, welcome to heaven. No. That is a heavy burden and a labor that nobody can ever hope to accomplish, ever. The only man that has ever lived a perfect life in the sight of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone was perfect. He alone obeyed and kept the law. He died. Not because he deserved it, but because he died to take our place. So that through him we can have the forgiveness of sins. That is the gospel. That is the welcome. That is the offer that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his disciples and gives all of us as well. And that is the assurance that as we seek the old paths, and as we go in the good way, as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have rest in our souls as well. The world around us is in conflict. The churches, tragically, are in conflict as well. And there is much confusion. How are we to know? Where are we to seek refuge? Well, it comes back to the same thought. Ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? Where is the right way? Come back to the Word of God. And simply by faith, believe His words. Believe in the gospel. And He says, you will find rest there for your souls. And not just rest now in the present. It is not just a comfort that we can have right now, but it is the rest for eternity. And the book of Hebrews says that we enter into His rest. That rest is what we can have for eternity. Do we want that rest? Do we want that peace? Do we want this peace that passeth all understanding? And the guy, the instruction that the Bible has, he says, ask for the old path. Return to the old way. Return to the simple truth of the Word of God. And the final thought that we have this morning is never turn aside. Never turn away from the old path. Never turn away and to walk away from the good way that God has given to us. Because sadly, in Jeremiah's time, their response was, we will not walk therein. They rejected the old paths. They rejected the good way. They rejected the simple teachings of God in His Word. And they say, oh, we will go after all these other exciting things. We will go after idols. We will go after sin and immorality. We will go after that which is not the right way or the good way. And so God warns them. He says, I have set watchmen over you. I have sent people that have come to sound the alarm and warn you of your sin. And Jeremiah himself was one of them. He was a watchman. He was one, like, you know, the guard that stands on the watchtower, on the walls of a city. And he sees the enemy approaching. What does the watchman do? He sounds the alarm. He blows the trumpet and he says, danger, danger is coming. And so God says, I set them there and hearken, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken, we will not listen. These are those that have turned aside, turned away from the good way. And God says, I have called my prophets to direct you back to the good way, to direct you back to the good paths. But you refuse to listen. You ignore their warnings. You ignore the sound of the trumpet. And so he says, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them? Hear, O earth. And he says, listen to this warning of judgment that I now bring. I will bring evil upon this people. What does evil mean? It's not that God himself is the source of evil, but he says, I will bring calamity. I will bring destruction. I will bring judgment upon you. Bad things will happen, basically. Even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. You see there? That's the good way, right? The law of God, the words of God. He says they have turned aside. They have rejected. They have refused to listen. And they go off on their own separate way. And they think that that is good. They think that that is a wonderful way to live. Because I enjoy life, don't I not? It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's good. But God says no. Those that turn aside from the old paths, those that go off from the good way, what awaits is judgment and destruction, pain. Again, not just for the present, but for eternity as well. Because that is the grave danger. That is the grave danger of those that refused to listen to the reformers in their day, and they continued with the superstitions of the Roman Catholic Church. Those today that are in apostate churches, in churches that no longer preach the truth and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, what is to become of them? If they never come and understand the Savior and the wonderful truths of the gospel, judgment awaits as well, tragically, sadly. What will be the ways that we seek after? In Joshua's time, he told the people, "Be strong and very courageous," Joshua 1:7, "and thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." Same as what Jeremiah warned, right? My words, my law, do not reject it. And he says, "Which these law, what is the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee? Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Don't deviate from the way. Don't turn aside. Stay within the paths of righteousness. Stay within the ways of God's word. Why? That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." That God will bless you and bless your life. That God will grant you this rest to your souls, not just for now, but for eternity. What is the ways that we seek after? Just as the reformers faced the crisis in their time, even more so, we need that firm allegiance to the old paths in our day as well. What is the old paths? It is simply the Word of God. To come back to the truth of God's Word and never turn aside, never deviate. Never think that, oh, I know a better way. Oh, there is a better thing. There is a more exciting thing here. Or there's an easier path. No. Always come back to the Word of God. And if we stay there, we will never go wrong. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the heritage of the Reformation, in which we today stand as the beneficiaries of how Thou had raised up men in Thy time, in Thy perfect will, to guide the Church back to the old paths and the good way. And may You help us, by Thy grace, to continue to tread down that path, to return to the Word of God and continually ask, what is Thy will? What is Thy way? What is the teachings that Thou would have us to learn from Thy Word? And help us to abide by these old paths, to never deviate or meander from Thy truth, but to constantly remain in Thy perfect Word. And so we pray for Thy strength. We thank Thee for Thy preservation, that as we seek to earnestly contend for the faith, may You show us through Thy Word the ways in which we have perhaps gone wrong or turned aside. Draw us back unto Thyself and help us then to seek the old paths and walk therein, and know that through that we shall find rest in our souls. We pray for some in our midst here that perhaps have not yet come to these old paths, that have not yet understood the truth of Thy Word. Lord, we pray that Thou speak to their hearts this morning. Draw us nigh unto Thyself. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen.